Good morning. Hey, we are so glad you're here today. I'm Pastor Brian. Wasn't that a beautiful picture of a great bowl of fruit? And what is possible when water in that case washes over? But I believe it's a picture of what I believe God wants to do here in this time and in this space is wash over us with his word, with the Holy Spirit, because he has fruit that he wants to bear through our life. And that's what this series is all about these past few weeks, is this idea of worry less, live more. What does it look like for the fruit of the Spirit, what God has for us, to actually be a part of our life? And as you saw in the video, love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, all of these things that in many ways we may realize are present in a few areas and maybe lacking in others. And so just know that that's what God wants to do today. You're here for a reason. We're going to focus today on the word faithfulness, the fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. And as we do that, let me just say, you're here in the middle of July. You are faithful, whether you knew it or not. And so we are so glad you are here with us today. And you're here for a reason, because I believe God wants to speak into an area of your life that maybe you thought he didn't see today. As I prayed for this message, I'll be sharing something today that really I've had the opportunity to live and to lead for 10 years and never taught on a Sunday. It's a framework that we'll get to in a minute that's been really helpful for my life, and I hope helps yours today. So I'm glad you're here. I want to pray. When I'm done, the ushers will come around. If you need a Bible, just get your hand up. We'd love for you to use it in the service. And if you don't have one, take it. It's a gift from us. There is an outline inside of the current. We're going to cover some ground today. And it might be one fruit of the Spirit, but we're going to dig into the Word to get some depth with it. And there's a teaching outline that'll hopefully help you. Let me pray us in. Father God, thank you so much for who you are. God, we want to still our minds and our hearts this morning. We want to open ourselves up to you. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are faithful. Even when we are not, you are. So I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would wash over us today through your word, that you would clean, cleanse, heal, do whatever is needed. May we be open to hear from you, to receive what you have, that we could bear fruit, the fruit that you have for our lives. I just thank you. And Jesus, may you get all the glory. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So worry less, live more. And this idea of faithfulness, let's look at where our main text is. If you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, we've looked at this reality that the Apostle Paul was writing a letter to the church in Galatia. This was a group of believers that had, in so many ways, moved from a relationship with Jesus into religiosity, into tradition. In fact, Paul says, what are you doing? You were given freedom, and you're missing it, and you're falling back into law and legalism. And many of us can have that tendency to miss that Jesus, in fact, a relationship with him, is designed to bring freedom. Amen? And that freedom frees us to live life as it was meant to be. And so Paul digs into that in the first 20 verses of Galatians 5. He even talks about the fact that, hey, you're going to be in situations where if you will listen more to the Spirit of God that is given to a believer when you come to a relationship with Jesus, the Holy Spirit in you, if you'll get in step with the Spirit, you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. And our flesh is strong, isn't it? And so Paul is kind of laying these things out and then brings us to verse 22 and 23 to talk about the fruit that is meant to come out of every believer's life. There's 9 of them mentioned here. It's not a limitless, I mean, there's other attributes of faith that we learn in Scripture, but this is the fruit of the Spirit and what should be coming out of our life, even when life is difficult, which we'll get to today. Verse 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. you're taking notes, the fruit of the Spirit here is kind of broken into three triads, if you will, three groups. So you have this upward, outward, and inward grouping, if you look at it that way. The first three are love, joy, and peace. Those would be these upward fruit of the Spirit. That is, in fact, that we find true love, true joy, and true peace through the Holy Spirit, through Jesus, because that's part of his character. He is love, he is joy, he is peace. And so when we begin to understand that, we realize we're going to run around in the world looking for love, joy, and peace, but the place where we'll find it the most is in this upward relationship with Jesus. Amen? And so that's the first three. Then it moves outward. Love God, love people. It moves outward, and it begins with patience. Patience and kindness and goodness. These are how we treat others, how we approach others. And our world needs a whole lot more patience, a whole lot more kindness and goodness. And these are fruit of the Spirit that in the last couple of weeks we covered. Today we're moving towards what some would say are the triad are these inward focused fruit of the Spirit. You see, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, even as you love yourself. And so there is this relationship inward that God says in these last three, the fruit of the Spirit are faithfulness, gentleness, which has to do with power, God's power under control. We'll look at that next week. And self-control. Oh boy, right? Next week, you should be here. But today, faithfulness. What does it look like to be faithful when things are good, when things are bad, and through it all? And to realize that God is faithful. That's what you have to understand is God is first and foremost faithful. Even when our circumstances don't feel like it, even when we look at life and we go, yeah, I don't know. No, he's bigger than what you can see in front of you. He absolutely is. Let me show you from Scripture just a few mentions of God's faithfulness. Psalm 40, verse 10. I have not kept the good news of your justice hidden in my heart. I have talked about your faithfulness and saving power. I have told everyone in the great assembly of your unfailing love and faithfulness. The psalmist is saying here that God's faithfulness is so good, he can't help but tell others. He can't help but sing about it. Did we do that today? I mean, this is hopefully for you a reminder that yes, God is faithful, and it's something we're to be sharing with others and praising God. Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Understand, therefore, that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is the faithful God who keeps his covenant, which is deeper than a promise. It's longstanding. It's so, God does not break his covenant. It says for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commands. Jumping into the New Testament, Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You see, part of understanding God's faithfulness is a trust issue. So much of what we're looking at today will hopefully point you to the fact that God can be trusted, because when we trust him that he's good and he's kind and he's faithful, we can overcome anything with him. We really can. And so he can be trusted to keep his promise. Psalm 89:11. The heavens are yours and the earth is yours. Everything in the world is yours. You created it all. When we get beyond our life, beyond our circumstances, and we begin to see God in all of his glory, in his creation, in his power, in his sovereignty, we can begin to trust that what we see in front of us, God may be up to something bigger. Back in 2007 and 8, my wife Cindy and I began the transition from Battle Creek, Michigan to plant a church here called Overflow that you're now here a part of. And in 2007 and 8, if some of you are old enough to remember, we went through something in our economy. We went through something significant when the real estate bubble burst, mortgages were called due, and people couldn't, and all of a sudden the value of homes changed radically. Our economy almost collapsed. It's hard to believe that was 10 years ago, but at that same time, there was a pastor, somebody who spoke into my life with a teaching that made a tremendous difference. So I want to give credit where credit is due. The concept for the ABC zones came from Dr. Paul Hantz. And for 10 years now, I've had the opportunity to live this and lead this and teach this in other spaces, but I've never shared it on a Sunday morning. I just felt like in prayer this week that some of us would benefit from this and that this is what God wanted me to share. So he introduced me to this 10 years ago at a time when we're trying to move from Battle Creek to Benton Harbor and the economy has collapsed. I can remember I had already sold one home for sale by owner. We were in our second home at the time. Not second home like I had a vacation home. Second home as in we had moved. And so this home, I remember, we're answering a call to be faithful to what God has asked us to do and to come to Benton Harbor and St. Joe. And as we did that, I can remember taking the for sale by owner sign. It was in April of 2007. I remember it to this day. And I remember going to put it in the front yard and thinking to myself, quite arrogantly looking back, oh, I'm following God. I'm going to be blessed for my obedience. This sucker will sell in 7 days. It didn't happen. In fact, that home didn't just not sell for 7 days. It didn't sell for 30, for 6 months. For 12 months, for 18 months, for 24 months. And in the middle of all of that, we learned that the home had lost almost $50,000 in value. We're following God faithfully, but we're facing an incredible difficulty. Some of you can relate to this because you went through it too. Or you're going through something now that feels really similar. And I got to tell you, God is so good and so faithful. In the middle of that, this framework of the ABC zones was given to me, and I realized I'm in a B zone. I'm dealing with a B zone, and what God wants to do is grow me in that. I can remember even it got so bad during the period where we're trying to sell the home that we had transitioned with our realtor from a traditional sale to a short sale. And in doing that, the realtor also had to leave the state to find work to feed his family, but he didn't tell me. So literally, I'm handed a deal with a bank that I've never heard of and that I've got to figure out. And it was just like things kept getting worse. But God was so good. With 12 hours to go before foreclosure, 12 hours, we had just a ram in the thicket breakthrough that allowed us to sell it. It took us years to recover from that. But looking back, the circumstances were designed to grow us. The circumstances were designed to teach us about God's faithfulness, even though I couldn't see it when I was in it. Are you with me? And so I want us to look at this today through the lens of that reality and a man named Joseph. You could turn with me to Genesis chapter 37, because as we unpack the ABC zones today, I want to look at Joseph and his story. If you're not familiar with Joseph, it's in Genesis 37 through 50. And what you have is a young man who was the youngest in his family. He was the 12th son born to the wife that in particular Jacob, his father, favored and has struggled to have a child. So when the child was born, he is later in life. He gives a lot of favor to Joseph. And so Joseph is a special child that also has 11 older brothers. And these brothers notice the difference in how Joseph is treated, and they don't necessarily like it. Anybody else have some dysfunction or jealousy in their family? Don't elbow your family member if they're here. Right? I mean, it's just like real stuff. And so Joseph, not only is he favored by his earthly dad, but he has an unusual relationship with God. God will reveal stuff to Joseph through dreams and visions, and that allows him to begin to see where God might be leading things. So Joseph has a dream and a vision, and if you just indulge me here, my whiteboard that I ordered didn't arrive in time. And so I'm going to do this up here, and this is the A zone. Are you with me? This represents on the platform the A zone, the place where you begin dreaming again, where you have hopes for a better future, where you literally dream of greatness. And think of it this way, it's where new beginnings our birth. So Joseph is given a dream by God, and in that dream, we'll read in a minute what happens and what unfolds, but I realize that for some of you, you might be in the A zone right now, that you're excited about a new move, a new job, a new relationship, or a new church if you're here. And so you have this hope for a future and what God has ahead, and that's great because God has good plans for all of us. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Isn't that good news? And that's given, you need to know this, in Jeremiah 29 to a group of people that weren't necessarily in an A zone. They were actually in a B zone. They were held in Babylonian captivity. They were slaves. And yet God was reminding them, hey, I have plans for you and a future. Now, I got to tell you this. In Jeremiah 29, he also tells them it's going to take 70 years. Now, some of you are like, No, I don't even got 70 minutes, right? And here's the thing. We need to be reminded that God's timing is always different than ours. His timetable is better. He sees the bigger picture. His timing is always far better than ours. So there is a hope. And I got to tell you, over the last few years, there's been a number of these difficulties that even in the last 6 months, I've said, God, I don't want to dream my dreams. What are your dreams? What are your hopes for the future? Help me to begin to dream again, to hear from you. So Joseph has that. And in Genesis 37, we're going to see what happens with these first two dreams that he's given. Picking up in verse 1. "So Jacob settled again in the land of Canaan, where his father had lived as a foreigner. This is the account of Jacob and his family. When Joseph was 17 years old, he often tended his father's flocks. He worked for his half-brothers, the sons of his father's wife, Bilhah and Zilpah. But Joseph reported to his father some of the bad things his brothers were doing." So you got a lot going on here, right? Half-brothers, dysfunctional family. Dude, Joseph, like, what are you thinking? You're the snitch of the family? Like, that's not going to go well, right? And so he doesn't get it, and there's already some discord that is there. Verse 3, "Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other children because Joseph had been born to him in his old age. So one day Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. But his brothers hated Joseph because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. One night, Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers about it, they hated him more than ever. 'Listen to this dream,' he said." Now, I just got to pause here for a minute. Like, when you hear this, it's like, really, Joseph? Timing, audience, come on. "Listen to this dream," he said, verse 6. "We were out in the field tying up bundles of grain. Suddenly, my bundle stood up, and your bundles all gathered around and bowed low before mine." His brothers responded, "So you think you will be our king, do you? Do you actually think you will reign over us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dreams and the way he talked about them. Soon, Joseph had another dream, dream number 2. And again, he told his brothers about it. "Listen, I have had another dream. The sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed low before me." This time, he told the dream to his father as well as to his brothers. But his father scolded him. "What kind of dream is that?" he asked. "Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow to the ground before you?" But while his brothers were jealous of Joseph, his father wondered what the dreams meant. Now, when you have been given dreams by God, one thing we can learn from Joseph is to recognize the timing and the audience to share that with. You see, he's sharing with family, and you would think family or even close friends always want the best for us. But the reality is that that's not always the case. There was jealousy, there was comparison, and so he shared with them when he probably should not have. You see, what would happen to Joseph is he was going to move from an A zone to a B zone very quickly because of their response. God was favoring Joseph and giving him a glimpse of his future, but he didn't give him the plan, he didn't give him the timetable, he didn't tell him how he was going to get there. And you need to know that that's often what a life of faith brings, is you get a sense of where God's going, and And he just says, here's the next step. Here's the next step. And the question is, will we be obedient and faithful to that next step? Now, in Joseph's case, his brothers began to plot against him. And so let's look at this, jumping ahead to verse 18. When Joseph's brothers saw him coming, in verse 18, they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Here comes the dreamer, they said. Come on, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, which was a pit, an empty well that was dry. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what becomes of his dreams. But when Reuben heard of their scheme, he came to Joseph's rescue. Let's not kill him, he said. Why should we shed any blood? Let's just throw him into this empty cistern here in the wilderness. Then he'll die without laying a hand on him. Reuben was secretly planning to rescue Joseph and return to his father. So when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty and there was no water in it. Then just as they were sitting down to eat, they looked up and saw a caravan of camels in the distance coming toward them. It was a group of Ishmaelite traders taking a load of gum, balm, and aromatic resin from Gilead down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what would we gain by killing our brother? We'd have to cover up the crime. Instead of hurting him, let's sell him to those Ishmaelite traders. After all, he's our brother, our own flesh and blood, and his brothers agreed. Now, do you see what's happening here? Joseph has this dream, and as he shares it, the brothers get jealous, and he enters into the next phase, which is the B zone. We're going to call this the B zone, and the B zone is when life happens, and if you're taking notes, and character grows. You see, life happens, there's difficulties, there's challenges, there's things that we go through in life that are meant to teach us about faithfulness, both of God and our own. And in that, our character grows because we're going through something. Are you with me? Now, here's the thing. Many of us are in B zones right now, and we're going to work through that together because God wants to do something in the very space you're in. So Joseph gets thrown into this pit, and it gets worse. And sometimes a B zone will get worse. He is thrown into the pit. Then they sell him into slavery. Now, he's sold into slavery to a man named Potiphar. Potiphar is a governor, if you will, in Egypt. He has a lot of power, a lot of control. In fact, here's what's interesting about Joseph's life. He might have been in a B zone, but in the B zone, God was still with him. Are you tracking with me? Just because you're going through something doesn't mean that God has left you. God is with us when we have a relationship with God. And so Joseph, wherever he went, even in these difficult circumstances, prospered and had favor. Let me just sit on that for a minute. If you're a child of God, you have a relationship with Jesus, he looks at you as a son or daughter. He looks at you as one of his favored children. That's incredible, isn't it? And a good parent doesn't always come in to rescue. Sometimes we got to let our kids go through some things. Well, you better believe God the Father understands that as well. And so in Joseph's case, he's letting him go through this, but there's still this favor on Joseph's life. You see, in Potiphar's house, Joseph did so well that everything Potiphar gave to him prospered and succeeded. So much so that he didn't withhold anything from Joseph. He just kept giving him more and more responsibilities. Now he's still in the B zone. He's still sold into slavery, but he's getting more and more blessing within that. But once you know it, Potiphar had a crazy wife. His wife looked at Joseph, this young man, and wanted him in a way that was not appropriate. And in that, she began to pursue Joseph. She began to throw herself at Joseph. She began to make advances. She tried to seduce Joseph. Here's what's interesting about this. Joseph, again, the B zone is where character grows. Joseph, sitting in this B zone, did not compromise his character. He did not make the choice he maybe wanted to make. He did the right thing. You see, sometimes in the B zone, we can begin to justify stuff. We can begin to say, well, you see what I've been through? I deserve this. Or this is something that I need. Or, man, I've been through so much. I just need today. I just need tonight to myself. I just need this thing or person, and I'll get through it. And what Joseph demonstrated was in that B zone, this incredible character and integrity that did not compromise, did not live a lie, instead rose up. In fact, it says, when she came at him, he ran. Say, run with me. Run. There are some of us sitting in a B zone that there is distraction and discouragement and things coming our way right now. And I believe God wants you to know you can run from that and maintain your character and your faithfulness. That in fact, you don't have to give in or compromise because character grows in this B zone. My kids were telling me this term I hadn't heard before, clickbait. If you're online, that it's the term for the ads that pop up. And even my kids who are teenagers and one of them's under, I mean, he's 11. I mean, they understand when somebody's throwing an ad in front of them that doesn't have substance, but it's clickbait to tempt them to do something else. Are you tracking with me? The B zone is full of clickbait, of things thrown at us that are meant to cause our character to fall rather than to be faithful. Now, in that, you may be afraid. You may have things in front of you that you're not sure about. But trust that God is there with you, and Joseph's life shows that. Corrie Ten Boom has an incredible quote, because we're in this series about worry less, live more. What does it mean to be faithful? And you may be panicking. You may be afraid in that B zone. Here's what she says. There is no panic in heaven. God has no problems, only plans. Worrying is carrying tomorrow's load with today's strength. Isn't that good? Carrying 2 days at once, it is moving into tomorrow ahead of time. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. That is a good word to realize that in these moments, we can trust him and he's good, and that worrying isn't going to help. In fact, it's often in the B zone that we make some of our worst decisions. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 through 10 has helped me through many, many B zones, many times where I just have wanted to give up or maybe not understood what I was going through and what the purpose was. Here's what it says. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. Let me just say, when you're in the B zone, you're meant to be a jar of clay that learns to depend on God for his power and strength. Just sucking it up and trying to muscle your way through, that's not what you're supposed to be learning in a B zone. We're supposed to be learning a greater dependency on God. So it says this great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. You see, when you're pressed in a B zone, what comes out? When you're facing stress and difficulty, this is where God's faithfulness wants to meet us, so that what's squeezing out of us is more of Jesus, and others realize there's no way they're doing that without God. There's no way. And people begin to see God and want the God that we have. Amen? So this B zone can serve an incredible purpose. Now, from the B zone, there's a C zone. Are you with me? You tracking? You're awake? You're good? We got A, B, C. C is the season of success. If you're taking notes, this is where we're blessed to be a blessing. Say that with me. Blessed to be a blessing. Joseph, the great thing about him, his story didn't end in the B zone. You see, his B zone kept getting worse because I didn't tell you this part. When he ran from Potiphar's wife, he actually ended up being then falsely accused of rape, thrown into prison, and forgotten for years. Later on, a baker and a cupbearer find him because they heard this guy has God, again, his strength, not his own, God's strength. And so they come to him, and Joseph, again, favor, is able to interpret these dreams. Because he interprets them, you would think, oh, he's going to get popped out of jail, right? It didn't happen. It says he stayed there 2 more years. God knows how long some of these B zones need to be. Do we trust him to develop our character, to grow us in these spaces? So eventually, Pharaoh, now it's the man in charge of all of Egypt. Pharaoh has a dream and nobody can interpret it. And somebody remembers that back in prison is this guy, Joseph, that actually knows how to do it with God's help. If you're sitting in a B zone, it can feel like God has forgotten you, that he doesn't know where you're at. And I just want to encourage you, God sees you. He knows right where you're at, and when it's time, he will find you and promote you out of it. Come on, that's a better word than how you're receiving it. God finds us. He doesn't forget us. He may have us there so we grow in our own faithfulness as we follow him and learn about him. He knows what we need to be prepared for that season. And so Pharaoh comes and it gets Joseph. Joseph enters into this C zone because he answers the dream and the dream comes to pass. And Pharaoh says, is there anybody else like him? There's nobody like him. We got to promote him. Turn with me to Genesis 41 and I'll show you this in verse 37 through 44. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man so obviously filled with the Spirit of God? Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams to you, clearly no one else is as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be in charge of my court and all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a higher rank than yours. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the entire land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh removed his signet ring from his hand and placed it on Joseph's. He dressed him in fine linen clothing and hung a gold chain around his neck. Joseph had some bling now, right? He moves from the pit to the prison to the palace. And as he does that, it's not because it's for him. It's because God's positioned him to help other people. As the story goes on, the land of Egypt goes through a famine. God speaks to Joseph and begins to prepare him for 7 years. Hey, put food away. Prepare for this. As the famine happens, can you imagine this? Everybody comes to Pharaoh and to Egypt and to Joseph for help. Even Joseph's family. Even the people that wronged him and messed up his life over here and threw him into the pit, they come to him and they say, and they don't even realize it's him at first. And they come there and God has so changed the character and heart of Joseph through the B zone that he looks at his family and he blesses them. It's amazing. How many of us, because we've gone through something, are being held back because God is saying, hey, I want you to forgive them. I want you to let go. I want you to trust me. I want you to be faithful. I want to take you over here, but you're stuck here. Joseph learned how to let go. Genesis chapter 50. It's not in the notes, but you got to see this. Verse 19, the brothers are standing there. They're bowed down. They're afraid for their life. Because Joseph could have got revenge. Joseph's reply, verse 19. Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. How much of it? All of it. He was saying, listen, not everything that's happened to me has been good. But God used it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. No, don't be afraid. I will continue to take care of you and your children. He's blessing what some would say were his enemies. So he reassured them by speaking kindly to them. It is incredible what God can do in our lives when we begin to let him work through this process. And I just got to show you this because a couple of things about the A zone, the B zone, and the C zone. You see, when we get over there, that promised land, that arrival, that success is to bless others. God wants to prepare us for it. And sometimes what happens is we get stuck between the A and the B. In fact, I would just tell you that I think the majority of people live their life between the A zone and the B zone. Life gets tough, new job. Life gets tough, new relationship. Church gets tough, new church. Are you tracking with me? That we just keep end up in this spin cycle between the A and the B zone instead of working through it faithfully with a God who's faithful, who gets us to the other side of it. And my passion for my life and our life at Overflow and beyond is that more of us would understand the process and would get over here, because our world needs a bunch of C-zone people that are blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Now, here's the thing. I got to tell you, once we begin to handle this and work through it, if you get to the C and God hasn't returned yet, Jesus hasn't come back, there's another A coming, there's another B, and there's another C. It just keeps happening because God always has more for us. Jesus, in fact, said, you will do greater works than he did. That's another sermon. But until he returns, there is more for us. So there's always another A, another B, and another C. Now, I'm going to take a minute and have somebody come and join me up here in a few minutes that's going to share a little bit of their story and their testimony. In our family, Cindy and I, my wife and I, have been on a journey. God put in our hearts years ago just the idea of fostering and adopting. And so we've kind of been in that for a while, just waiting on what God would have. And we got licensed with Bethany Christian Services about a year and a half ago. And about 30 days ago, as our journey was continuing to unfold, we had an opportunity to go and meet with some folks at Bethany. And in that was Jen Stiller, who has been at Overflow for 10 years now. And Jen shared some things with me that day about her workplace and God's faithfulness that really impacted me. And I thought, man, we got to share this with others. Because, again, when we say go now and be the church, what we're talking about today is meant to impact your home, your neighborhood, your workplace, your school. Can I get an amen? So let's welcome Jen up. Jen, if you'll come up here and join me. And I already answered one of the questions. How long have you been at Overflow? And the answer is hard to believe, right? Yep. 10 years, almost right from the beginning. And so, Jen, can you just kind of start there? How has your relationship with God grown over the years?
So when I first came here so many, many years ago, I had just been new to the area and found Overflow. And I was in a really hard, painful season of life, probably in a B-zone area. And since then, in the last several years, not that I haven't had trials and tribulations throughout, but God has just shown his faithfulness. He has grown me and developed me to just lean in on him, to trust him. He has surrounded me with fabulous people and community that have just come alongside me and my kids and just done amazing things in my life. So God has just been really faithful over the last several years of being here.
Yeah. It's awesome. We need to hear stories of God working when we depend on him, right? And that's so much of what I see with you, Jen. When we had a chance to be at your office and to kind of see what you do, can you just tell us a little bit? What do you do at Bethany? How are you seeing God work in and through your job and what you're a part of?
So I'm a foster care supervisor at Bethany Christian Services. So we work with kids and families who are a part of the foster care system for one reason or another. And I'm just going to share a little bit about how I've seen God at work, which over the last 5.5 years, there's been one story, one testimony, one miracle after the next where God just shows up, even when things appear really dark and painful, but he shows up in the midst of that when we're faithful and we trust him. So one of the ways that God showed up in big ways is Bethany has had a satellite office in Benton Harbor for about 6.5 years, and we maintained a space for most of that time that we just outgrew. I mean, we grew on staff. When I first started, there was a handful of us there, and we've tripled in size in our staff. And we just were starting to get visions of like growing and wanting to serve more and reach more families and just grow in general. So we started, there was a larger space in that same building that we had our eyes on, and we would sneak in because we knew where the key was. So we would sneak in and just walk through there and just claim and pray. I even prayed over the space. I wanted it to be my office. I did end up in that office. But it took 1.5 years. So we prayed and we got pushback and we got denied and we got backlash and we got budget issues and we just got a lot of no's. But we just continued to pray and we continued to walk through that space and claim it and just, you know, tell God, like, you've given us a vision for bigger and more, and we're claiming that you're going to make it happen. So this last spring, we moved into our new space, which is the place we've been praying over, and God has just been blessing it, and he's just giving us vision and just expanding the things that we are doing and want to do through him. So it's just been really great. And then I'm just going to share another story. I shared a different story last service, but we work with a lot of different situations, different circumstances, and we had a case with a little girl who came into care, and her dad was in prison for the first 6 months of her being in foster care. And while he was in prison, he stayed in contact with his worker and was doing all kinds of things in the prison system to try to deal with some of the barriers and issues that he was facing in his life. And the mom kind of fell off the track of trying to work things out with her daughter. But this dad got out of prison, and he just just immersed himself in support and services and got a job and got a house. And it was just really miraculous to walk alongside of him and to see his life transform before our eyes as we prayed for him and prayed for her. And just prayed for their family to be reunified. And this past spring, his daughter went home, and she's living with him, and they're doing really well. And he's got an amazing support system. And he's just, like, 360 turned his life around. And it's just amazing to watch God work through prayer and just being present with people and not giving up on people, not seeing people from where they are, but seeing where God wants to move them. And it's just been really awesome to watch that happen. And I don't know about any of you, but it's just really cool to see men and dads stand up and fight for their kids. And even when a mom can't be present, but this dad really stepped out of all the things that he was doing that were negative and turned his life around for his daughter through the, you know, the grace of God and the blessings and the prayer. So,
wow. Come on. Isn't that awesome to hear? So she mentioned prayer so many times, didn't she? And did you catch the time lapses there? Like, this stuff was taking months. Like, she didn't get the office she wanted in 18 days or 18 weeks. It was 18 months. And so God is faithful and sometimes just needs to get us in step with his program. Amen. I'd like to pray for Jen and do that before we finish here. And, you know, just thank you for what you do and being a part of Bethany and just helping families. One of the things that I think is helpful, you know, in Jen's role, as we talk about A, B, and C zone, I'm guessing most or a lot of the people that you work with are in a B zone. They're going through something. And for those of us that maybe need a little more grace and patience for other people. All right? Anybody in the room have a short fuse? Or maybe too long of a memory? Can't forgive and forget. There's an old saying, hurting people hurt people. And it's really helpful to remember, often when somebody's in a B zone, if I just understand that about their life, I can have a little bit more grace, a little bit more patience and a little bit more love for them as they work through that, because I'm going to go through them too. All right? Can I pray? Father, thank you so much for Jen and her testimony. And God, she is not only working through this herself, but she's doing this in a position in our community and with Bethany that really is making such a difference. I thank you that she's worked through this and continues to work through it in a way where she's being faithful and seeing you show up with your faithfulness. We celebrate these stories of dependency, of prayer answered. I just pray, God, that you would continue to bless her, to be a blessing in her work, in her home, watch over her and the kids. And we just speak life and peace over them and over her. Father, for all of us, may this be a moment of thinking, how could I bring God into my workplace and into my school and see the same kind of faithfulness in and through him? God, I thank you. Bless her today in Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Can you give Jen a hand? And as we celebrate a story of dependency of what God has done there, again, so much of this centers on can and how do we handle this B zone. So I want to just give you five quick things. They're in your notes that are next steps. And I'm going to do this very quickly for the sake of time because I want to create space for us to pray together today. So how do you work through your B zone with faithfulness? Number one, choose whose plan you really want to follow. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 teaches us that if we trust God, lean on him for everything, he will straighten our path. And so part of getting through this is saying, I want to follow your plan, God, not mine. When we follow God's plan, he's often going to say, I need you to stand, I need you to be faithful, or I need you to even sit and rest right now. It's when we try to get out, it's when we try to do it in our own strength that we make mistakes. I have been learning over and over the power of praise and worship in the B zone. There is something God does when we're in a B zone and we begin, our circumstances don't deserve praise, but he does. Our circumstances don't deserve acknowledgement in the sense of anything, but he does. He deserves our worship. And so in that, choose whose plan you really want to follow. Secondly, choose to change your mindset. We get a lot of stinking thinking, right? And B zones create more of that. And so Romans 12, 2 talks about renewing our mind, how vital it is. God's word, the Holy Spirit, are the ways that he renews our mind. And we need to change our thinking and get on his program. Third, choose to let your circumstances grow you as a person. Did you know you have a choice you can make in here to say, I'm going to let this challenge, I'm going to let this circumstance grow me as a person? Many of us, I think this is why the Apostle Paul in the New Testament said, some of you are on milk and you should be on meat. Some of you are still in infancy because you haven't allowed God to take you through some places to actual maturity. God will mature us through these spaces, but it's a choice. James 1, verse 2 through 4 says this, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Fourth, let the B zone push you closer to God. I mentioned this time and time again in the message today. You could look it up in Genesis 39, just another moment where Joseph acknowledged, I can't, but he can. I am not able, but he is able. I don't know how to interpret dreams, but I know the one who does. It is a place that we develop a closeness and intimacy with God that you're not going to find anywhere else. Honestly, it's in this space that some of the intimacy with God grows the most. So let it push you closer to God. And lastly, surround yourself with wise counselors. You know, Proverbs 15, 22 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. And like Joseph, you may be going to the wrong people for that advice. Don't tell them they're the wrong people. That would be a Joseph-like move, okay? But begin to look for who are the wise counselors, people full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word of God, who can give you wise counsel and advice. Overflow is a church that values community. We have connect groups. We have classes. We have supper in six this summer. We have our Connect lunch today, right after service. There is opportunities to surround yourself with new people that abound here, and I would encourage you to look at that. What we're going to do to close today is to pray together. And if you're new or you're maybe prayer is new to you, I just want to give you kind of three things that we can approach this with. So we're going to play a song in the background called God is With Us. The song is by Rita Springer. It's an incredible reminder of our God being with us in the fights, in the battles, and in the B zones. As that plays in the background, first, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or you just need prayer in general individually, there'll be a couple of us available up here that you could come pray with and be prayed for. Secondly, you may want to just sit in your seat by yourself and pray and agree with others in prayer by yourself, and you can do that. But the third option is this one that we're putting up the slide for. That's our prayer of agreement. And prayer of agreement, we haven't done it actually in a few months, but it's an opportunity for 4 to 8 people to gather in a group and to just pray in unity over three things. Do we have the slide? These three things, you have your introductions and then three items to pray over. And so here's how this will work. I'm going to pray to close and transition us. The song will play for 5 minutes, and during that 5 minutes, you can come for prayer individually. You can pray individually in your seat. You can listen to the song, or you could get into a group and pray together. All right? God is faithful, and let's pray for us to be faithful as well, that God would do a new thing and work through us. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. We praise you for your faithfulness. I just invite you during this time, whether we're praying individually or in groups, God, fill this place with your Holy Spirit, that as we pray, we could agree on a few things that I believe you've given us today, that we could walk forward with you by faith and bear more fruit individually and as a church. So bless this time, and we thank you that God, you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.